Happy holidays, everybody. And the best way to celebrate, get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford. Just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Check out BillCurryFord.com for all the deals. They got a tremendous showroom. They will take good care of you with their concierge service. And the biggest point of all, the end of year sales, obviously, don't last past a couple of more weeks. They got a big inventory that they want to move. And as a result, the deals are outstanding. And the best value, it's all about value. And the best value you can get is right now, Bill Curry Ford.
Pin Chasers, they have their student holiday lane pass, which is just an incredible deal. Students, kindergarten through 12th grade, get 15 games of bowling for less than a dollar per game. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. Reload your pass anytime between now and January 7th, and then you'll get another 10 games for just $10, and those games never expire. Every day there is a daily special at Pin Chasers. They have three locations. You can go to their website, see all the daily offers. Dollar Mania every Monday night. Just get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, book a holiday party. Pin Chasers, we love them too. All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the custodian of Canton, the prince of Pasco County, he's Uncle Ira. Ira Kaufman, this is the podcast, Sage, podcast number two of this week. I'm Steve Isbitz, Lee DeKemper's here, and Sage, we are live at Big Storm Brewery. We'll be hearing a lot about them in the coming weeks in our brand new partnership for 2020. Exciting stuff. But Ira, I wanted to go to you first and say, how are you, man? What do you got planned for the holidays? You look good. You're on TV. What's going on?
It's great to have the band back together, DeKemper. You know, we didn't know how much we missed Isbitz until he showed up the other day, and, you know, he provides a little sparkly. Not that you and I aren't good.
Quality audio.
This is a holiday edition. Lee, of the Ira
Every
Kaufman
day is a
podcast.
Holiday with your podcast, Ira.
And I want to wish all our listeners, all our readers, the very best of holidays, the very best of times. This is a time for family. That's right, the Kemper family. And your Buck family requires your presence this week.
Can I bring this up real quick? There. It's nothing to do with Bucks, but what you talked about. Describe to our listeners, your listeners, what you and your wife sat down to watch for entertainment last Christmas Eve.
Now, wait a minute. You got a better memory than I have. It wasn't The Irishman because that wasn't out yet. Last Christmas Eve, Fatal Attraction?
No, I'll give you a hint. That's a good one. I'll give you a hint. Clint Eastwood.
Hold on. It wasn't Unforgiven.
No.
And it wasn't Gran Torino.
I'll give you another hint. South Pacific.
South Pacific and Clint Eastwood. You're killing me, DeKemper.
The Pacific Theater.
Might have been Iwo Jima. Yeah. How do you remember? Well, what a memory.
But think about this. This was a blood and guts, gore, war movie that you and your wife sat down to on Christmas Eve.
Well, I'll tell you what we're not going to watch this Christmas Eve is The Irishman because it was a C-minus movie. And put that in your pipe over there.
B-plus.
All right, Sage, important note. As we mentioned last podcast, which, of course, anybody can go back and listen to on JoeBucksFan.com, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever.
They cannot miss that podcast. That last podcast was spectacular.
Did you listen to it, Ira?
Of course I listened to it. I had to cover my ears. There was so much screaming.
The movie was Flag of Our Fathers, wasn't
Flag
it?
Flag of Our Fathers, yes.
And on Christmas Eve.
Of course. I'm a historian.
So, Sage, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. And Thursday, we will be at Bill Curry Ford. You will be there in the flesh.
This is the day after Christmas.
11:30, fans are welcome to come out, have a free lunch on Joe Buck's Fan and Bill Curry Ford.
Lee, gather yourself, Lee.
And they can get on the podcast with you. We'll be doing some little recordings with fans, a few minutes each. They can ask you a question, a little banter with the Sage, and we will keep that for a future podcast because all the questions and the banter will be about the future of the Bucks. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Bill Curry Ford, and of course, you can go to BillCurryFord.com and advance shop a little bit. Come down and test drive when you're there. The end of the year deals are fantastic.
Don't forget the free grub over there, my friend.
I mentioned the food, lunch, 11:30. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to do it, Sage. Yes, Ira, I see your face. I saw the words about to come out of your mouth. Security will be in place. Don't worry.
I can't have Ozzy move creeping up on me like a Panzer division.
I know what you're going to do Christmas Eve.
Wait a minute, Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
I might be at my son's house. What am I going to do?
You and your wife are going to watch Reservoir Dogs.
You know what? I saw the beginning of it today. I put it on YouTube. I love the opening scene around that table when the old guy says, "All right, kick in a buck, everybody." And there's Steve Buscemi says, "I don't tip." "You don't tip? No, I don't believe in it." I mean, what a classic scene that is.
All right, Sage, this is going to be a slightly abbreviated podcast because when we are convened at Bill Curry Ford, we'll do a third bonus podcast for later this week, sort of a pre-Falcons edition. So we're not going to have our picks in this podcast.
By the way, I want to start just like this, and I believe this has been determined, and thank God it has been. The Bucs will not and cannot finish in the NFC South basement. How do you like that, DeKemper?
A rare feat.
And that is what is considered progress in Tampa.
Is that, yeah, unfortunately.
That's because the Panthers have totally fallen apart.
Now, is that the third time in the post-Chucky era that that's happened?
I don't know. I think it was going to be 8 times out of 9 years if they did it, and they're not going to do it, Steve. If you want to count that as progress under Bruce Arians, you go right ahead, Steve.
Well, we discussed what defines...
Mr. 7-9 is progress over there.
I still think
you're nuts.
All right, Sage. Fine. That's fine. Now, speaking of war movies and battlefields... I have to ask you this, Ira, because, you know, Lee and I, we have a good pulse of the fans, and we talk to a lot of people, and now that we sit here days after the Buccaneers' loss and all those interceptions by Jameis, have you had any deeper reflections as far as what you think about the meaning of those four picks on national TV at home? Jameis, I believe, has thrown over 20 interceptions at home this year. Have you had any broader thoughts about the Jameis Winston experience and where his status is?
All right, I'm going to start off with this. If you're listening to me, Byron Leftwich, and by the way, I gave you a D the other day for your game plan. But if you're listening to me, take that out pattern out of your playbook. Do it right now. And by the way, while you're doing that, you can't have the short slant over the middle either. So those two plays have to go out of your playbook.
Until you get better
what
receivers.
Do you keep the seam pass because he's good at it. But here's my second thought. What a quandary the Bucs are in. I mean, what a quandary. I'll tell you what. If Bruce Arians was a 35-year-old coach and up-and-comer, I think they'd think hard about getting another quarterback and getting one in the draft. A 67-year-old coach, I think that's a big factor when you throw in everything that's going on. And by the way, I haven't heard anybody who thinks that they're going to move on from Winston, even in the wake of Saturday's debacle. And yes, DeKemper, it was a debacle.
I didn't say it wasn't.
And you're going to blame the wind. And
that's Arians. No.
And a receiver rounding off a pattern.
Well,
and I don't want to hear it.
That was a mistake. If you want to ignore it, then you're being irresponsible as a journalist.
Steve, you know what? Saturday's game might beg the question a little bit. How much of Winston's success in the 30 points a game that this team was averaging before Saturday can be claimed by Mike Evans and Chris Godwin?
Significant.
So you could look at it that way, too, Lee.
I agree with you, Ira.
Too small a sample size. You know, it's just one game. We did watch Jameis with inferior receivers early in his career have some good seasons, put up numbers.
Dante.
So
the Stampeders back in Tampa Bay, by the way.
I mean, I still go back to 2016 when Jason Light relied on Vincent Jackson coming off a serious knee injury, Lewis Murphy coming off a serious knee injury who never ended up playing. So, I mean, Jameis has done the Dante Dyes and the Freddie Martinos before. And by the way, they're both on the Tampa Bay XFL Vipers team.
Freddie is?
Been there since day one.
Oh,
and
I wasn't aware of that.
They recently signed Dante Dyes.
I saw that this morning. They signed Dante Dyes.
But Sage, here you mentioned the draft. So I'm going to put this out here to you right now. If the season ended today, the Buccaneers pick 18th in the draft. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams tied at 7 and 8. And the Buccaneers have the strongest strength of schedule. Oof. So they fall in last in that group.
I hope you're not going to ask me what I think you're going to ask me, which is, should they lose this game?
That's not what I'm going to ask you, Sage. So right now they're 18th. If you think about it and you look at this list of teams and where they fall, there are 4 teams at 6 and 9. Including the Falcons, including the Jets, etc. You know, I don't have all the math in front of me, Ira, but it looks to me from what I'm seeing, the Bucs could pick anywhere this year from 19th to 11th based on
what
happens.
Swing.
That's a big swing.
It's
and you know what?
Swing.
If you're picking 18th or 19th, you have to pay a fortune to get the quarterback you want if you're even thinking that. But maybe the mindset changes. Is this what do you think of that and how the draft might factor into this game? And what do you think about this game coming up? From that standpoint,
I think if they're seriously thinking about taking a quarterback in the first round, then I think you got to tell Winston to hit the free agent market and move on. That's what I think. Because if you take a quarterback at 12, I think you got to play him. If you take a quarterback in the middle of the second round or third round, you don't have to play him. Mm-hmm. And Winston's not looking over his shoulder necessarily. And I don't mind if he does look over his shoulder, by the way.
Time to quit babying him?
Yeah, I think it's time. I'll tell you a guy that's bothering me, Lee. He's on my mind. Ray Charles had Georgia on his mind. I got this guy on my
Justin
mind.
Justin Watson?
Roy Cummings?
This Dari character?
outstanding, Isbeth. Outstanding. Oh, O.J. Howard is bothering the hell out of me. And I'm telling you why. I'll tell you why. And somebody told me this, so it's not original. But like the Kemper, I never reveal my sources. Somebody in the know said, hell of an athlete. I'm just not sure he's a football player. Now, that is strong line.
I'll tell you what I heard. And it was just from a Bucs fan. And it's not me. And I'm not going to out the Bucs fan. You know him. If I told you, I know you know him. And he's a hardcore Bucs fan. He just said, O.J. Howard is a hell of an athlete, but I think he's soft.
Interesting.
That sounds similar to what you're
First
hearing.
Of all, I thought he was a hell of a blocker. I don't think he is.
No.
I don't think he is.
He hasn't shown to be. Ian Beckles early this year, I did a screenshot. Beckles talked about a certain play, might have been around week six, where he thought O.J. Howard went soft for the end zone and ended up going out of bounds at the 1.5-2-yard line. And I went back to really look at it on the film because I was curious. Well, that's a big charge for one play, and I didn't remember the softness of it. And I did a screenshot on Joe Bucs fan, and it was soft. It was pretty soft. And since then, I've been watching for that. And we mentioned this last podcast. OJ is just not in love with contact for a guy who's, 6'6", 270, 260. Not in love with contact.
Now, guys, I think we all have to understand that there's a flip side to this discussion. And here's the flip side. If Belichick calls in the offseason and offers a second-round pick for
Pull
Howard.
The trigger.
He could make the Pro Bowl with the Patriots. You know it, and I know
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And that's the flip side.
Yeah.
You know, there might be something to be said that Bruce Arians doesn't get tight ends very involved in his offense. There might be something to
it. Yeah, I'm not arguing with you, but the sad thing is the perfect – and I wrote about this before. I wrote about it after Sunday's game or Saturday's game. The perfect game to finally get your tight ends worked into the offense was Saturday. They did just that. They failed. They dropped the ball.
Well
literally.
Said, DeKemper. Well said.
And Arians mentioned that at his news conference. He talked about Cam Brate's drop. He talked about O.J. Howard's drop in a different tone than the Brate drop. You know, they just haven't found a way to make these guys play to their draft status or their pay grade. So it's something
to
think about.
And instead, on the biggest snap of the game, he's throwing to a running back who's not known for his hands. And that's driving you crazy, Lee.
Yeah. The sad thing about the tight ends. Steve mentioned it. We know about his salary. I don't know if Cam Brate comes back next year.
I'm not arguing with you.
I would hate to see that. But, you know, money's money. I understand that. But
you know,
I hope not.
Yeah.
I sure hope he sticks around.
I hope he goes. We need help in the secondary.
35 catches, Steve. It doesn't warrant the contract.
The dough. And especially when the biggest opportunities of the season and you drop.
You know, go spend $6 million on a safety. I'm –
Grant Delpit, that's what's happening. I can see it now.
All right, Sage, I wanted to ask you this. Going back to Arians, because it's a topic on everybody's mind, he said that he still hasn't figured out, he doesn't really have any answers whatsoever, a shred of an answer for the early first possession picks by Jameis. I thought it was ironic that Dave Moore, because I was going back to the radio broadcast, Dave Moore.
This guy's thorough.
Made a wisecrack on the air, works for the Buccaneers Radio Network, and when Jameis threw that pick, first pick, he said, now we're where we need to be, you know, because they always come back after these picks. He's not one for wisecracks like that. And then Ian Beckles threw out there saying on the radio, it's to the point where it's funny now because it's just a joke. Now, and I think everybody kind of feels that way. Fans, the average Joe's like, here we go again. Unbelievable. Ha, ha, ha. You know, I got a franchise like that?
I got two thoughts. It's one, Winston's too nervous at the start of a game and needs to calm down and getting some kind of a rhythm. Or two, and they're not mutually exclusive, Steve, Leftwich has to take some of the responsibility because these scripted plays, if they are scripted, they're not working in the beginning. This ain't Bill Walsh with Montana, gentlemen, where he had you on your heels throughout the whole first quarter and you didn't know what the hell was going on, and they're getting to the line quick and running these plays and your head's spinning. That ain't happening in Tampa. So I think maybe – maybe Winston is too juiced up at the start of the game, gentlemen. We've seen it before with his sideline antics.
Well,
and he might be he may not have calmed down since.
And this goes back to Mr. Entertainment and a lot of Bucks fans. Just
Don Rickles?
No, that's Mr. Warmth.
I got it.
Mr. Entertainment's Jameis. And when I say this, Bucks fans, I can just picture them. When they hear me talk, they're going to punch walls and stuff. They don't want to hear it. There's a guy who's a noted spreadsheeter who said the NFL hasn't seen a fun quarterback like Jameis in 30 years. And I tell you right now, when he goes back to pass, it's breathtaking. You don't know what's going to happen. But here's what should happen. On the PA system at the Den of Depression, whenever Jameis goes back to pass, this is what they should play on the PA system.
Is that the Twilight Zone?
No. That's the 24 o'clock, made famous by none other than Jack Bauer.
You know, I think I would trade in a little excitement for a couple more wins, 7-8 with a chance to maybe go 500 or go 7-9. I know in your world, Steve, that's a hell of a season. But you know what? To be fair, they're going to win at least two more games than they did last year. I mean, to be fair, the facts are the facts. Maybe three more games than last year, and that's a little bit of a problem.
You're expecting
but
that?
But it's still not a successful season.
Bruce Arians said that Ndamukong Suh, consummate pro, played great. And he said that based on watching him and his observation of Suh and the way he's played and the way he's finished and the way he's prepared all year, that he's not ready to retire. But he, again, deferred that all discussions of personnel come after the season. But yeah,
that's a long way from saying we're bringing Suh back.
Well,
he said he's not retired.
He hasn't said anybody's coming back except Shaq Barrett. That's the only guy coming back.
Which you almost interpreted saying that's the guy they're going to franchise.
Well, now I got this question for you. If he's 27 years old and he's proven to have an elite season, and Jason Light has explained this on Buccaneers Radio, that Shaq's doing all the little things in coverage, not in coverage. Jason Light even said he'd have a higher percentage of sacks if he didn't drop in coverage like we have him do. Do you just pay Shaq market value and say, we got a guy, we like him, we love him, we're just going to pay him market value for two and a half years guaranteed, and do you just do it?
I think you just do it. Lee, I think you just do it. In the words of DeKemper, you can't put too much of a premium on a pass rusher. You finally got one. You finally got one.
Finally.
Now, here's part B of that equation. Having secured Barrett services doesn't mean you let go of JPP and Suh and Nassib, because otherwise you're going to see teams double-team Barrett at every turn.
And we saw what happened.
And he's going to get six sacks next year.
And we saw what happened right before JPP came back.
So it's all part of a piece. Now, I think Sue's the odd man out. That's my opinion. I think he's going to be the odd man out. That doesn't mean I think he had a bad year. I think he played a little better than I thought he would.
I would keep Suh over Nassib. Now, here's an addendum to that. We love Shaq. JPP, I like him. Not a spring chicken. If there's a younger guy out there, by hook or crook, gets on the free agent market, I still think you got to go after him. Because if you look at the Bucks, even though they had a guy who was leading the league, not anymore, Chandler Jones leads the league, but number two is Shaq. Even though you got the number two sack guy, you got JPP who's doing well. The Bucks as a team, middle of the pack. They're middle of the pack when it comes to sacks, so I still think you need to add.
You got to admit, Sue's not a major factor on the pass rush. He's just not.
No, but he is a key element on the league's number one rush defense.
But you've said in the past, who cares about your rush defense?
That's true, but every coach you talk to, Ira, they always say one dimensional. Every defensive coach.
Derek Brooks.
That one dimensional. So I would, if it came between, for example, Nassib and Suh, I would lean toward keeping Suh. I think Suh is more of an impact, unless you're going to draft the next Vita V or something.
You've got to draft a defensive end and stop. Because, look, we're trying to build a long-term successful team here. And you can't pay everybody, and just my opinion, Ira. So I wouldn't hesitate to let JPP go. That's just me. But that's just me, Ira. And if you can get the right guy in the second round.
But you got to replace him, Steve.
You have to get younger the defensive line, in my opinion.
V is your only young guy up there. You're right.
Yeah, and Shaq's young enough, but if you're going to pay Shaq, you got to try to balance it out. I mean, they've been paying so much money on the offense, it's got to balance on defense. I don't know. These are the puzzles that the genius of Jason Light has to take care of.
I'm not sure there's a team in the league that has more perplexing off-season decisions to make than the Bucks. They're right at the top.
To tap your sage wisdom, can you remember a year like this when it was this challenging and confusing and interesting of an off-season?
Absolutely not, because they've done some things well, Steve. Like, I think they got 41 sacks, Steve. That's a pretty good total. It's a pretty good total, especially for this franchise. Of course, Barrett is the centerpiece of that number. But, you know, pass rush has been okay this year. How many years have we been able to say that? Not many.
Okay, that's the perfect word, okay.
Okay.
You tend to think it's great because of Shaq, and God bless the fact that he's here doing that. But, yeah, the team is literally in the middle of the pack in the NFL.
You know, you got Godwin lurking, the Godwin contract
situation.
Oh,
that is a big one.
I would say this right now. He had a better year than Mike Evans. I think he had a better year than Mike Evans, which is...
I don't think you're crazy. Not a slam at Evans in any way, shape, or form.
I think more defenses are geared to stop Evans than Godwin, right? Up to this point. We'll see about that going forward. Steve, I think Godwin's had a better year than Evans.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he emerged and played better, and his blocking on the interior is extraordinary. And he's,
you know, Evans got that big extension. Steve, does Godwin have the right to be in that ballpark?
Well, we've discussed this, Ira. I just think that they don't have to pay him next year, but I think they should. Get it out of the way. You know, I don't think you can go wrong there, but they can't pay everybody. They have to make some hard decisions. They have to draft well.
I don't think he's a guy that's going to go south with the big contract, Steve. He doesn't strike me that way. You agree?
No, I think he's wired just like Mike Evans is. Hard worker.
They're not divas at all.
You've said it before. So a lot of teams reward A-list players after 3 years when they're not first-round picks. And I think Light's done it before. He has with Lavonte David got a deal after 3 years. Going back years, Mike Williams, Mark Dominic gave him a deal after 3 years. Maybe because Dominic was dancing on this pole in his house. I'm not sure about that. But
by the way, would you guys agree if Winston is franchised, you got to have a better backup quarterback than Blaine Gabbert or Ryan Griffin? Would you agree?
Yeah, he had no backup quarterback.
No, I totally disagree.
Are you worried about Winston looking over his shoulder?
No,
that would bug
no,
you?
Because we're just sitting here talking about money, and you can't pay everybody, and I don't want to invest.
I just said better. That's all I said.
Better is going to cost.
We don't know what Ryan Griffin looks like or Blaine Gabbert.
Guys, if you franchise Winston and he has a bad September, I'm yanking him.
Oh.
I'm yanking him.
And for who?
Because I want an option behind him that I can take him out.
Are you drafting a quarterback?
Hang on, Ira. Hang on.
I want an option.
Easy.
We'll
order you a Bramosa. Take it easy.
I don't want to keep him in just because I don't have anybody behind
him. Do you
him?
Actually believe Ryan Griffith at any point?
I want a way to salvage my season if Winston's playing
you
bad.
You think Ryan Griffith's going to salvage a season?
I said you got to do better than Ryan Griffith.
That's going to cost.
I did not miss that.
I did not miss that.
I got your premise, okay? But listen, look what happened in the NFL this year. The Saints paid Bridgewater top dollar to be a backup. The Titans paid.
And he helped them maybe get a first round bye.
The Titans paid top dollar to
backup
to Tannehill.
And they're about to make the playoffs.
Exactly. So you want a top dollar backup to get behind Jameis, who's franchised.
How much is Bridgewater making? Is Bridgewater making
$7-8 million? That's a lot of money to throw out there
to sit on a bench.
If you think you're that good, but I don't think they're going to do it to sit on the bench. They got so many guys to pay who are contributors, unless they're going to start pairing some salaries.
Well, then I want a second or third round quarterback that I have a little bit of faith that can go in and get a job done. I'm not sticking with Blaine Gabbert. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. Bruce, if you're listening, you got to do better. You got to do better.
All right, Ira, I wanted to run this by you.
I want an option if Winston's playing lousy, Lee. Well, I want an option.
There's options and then there's no options. And Ryan Griffith is no option.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah.
You bring Fitzpatrick back? He's had a heck of a year.
No.
Well, why not?
No, I'm not bringing Fitzpatrick back.
Sage, I wanted to go on a happier note because we're not going to figure out this Jameis Winston puzzle sitting right here. And I can't wait to talk about it more in a little different twist. In our next podcast.
Wait till Sean Sullivan weighs in, Steve.
That's going to be fun. General manager of Bill Curry Ford.
I think Lee already knows what Sullivan's attitude's going to be, but it will be fun.
Yeah, Lavonte David, another good game the other day, and he's had a very solid year, not his greatest year ever. You predicted he would be this sack master artist this year. Bulls would find a way to blitz him and all that. Didn't happen, but he's had a good year. But he had his 21st forced fumble. on Saturday.
He's really good at those forced fumbles
now,
right now.
Ira, that's only three behind Derek Brooks' long career. It's more than Barber. It's more than Sapp. It's more than Lynch. Less than Simeon, who was known as being a sack fumble guy. But, I mean, that's a heck of a stat.
That's a heck of a
number. I don't buy this pick up the fumble stat, you know, like fumble recovery.
I meant the forced fumbles.
Forced fumbles, that's legitimate.
Fumble recovery is luck that you're in the right place at the right time.
A lot of luck. Not completely, but a lot of luck. But forced fumbles, different story. Give us your wisdom on this perspective of this record.
Well, first of all, Lavonte David ain't going nowhere. And I don't care how much money he's making. He is the heart and soul of this defense. I don't think there's any question about it. He's emerged as more of a leader because I think Arians has leaned on him in that direction with Bowles right there behind him. Very solid season. Kind of a typical Lavonte David season. When the year ends, you wonder why the guy's not in the Pro Bowl, Lee.
Criminal again?
But he's not going to be in the Pro
no.
Bowl.
Barring injury.
And he's not going to be an All-Pro. And I have a vote in that. He's not going to be an All-Pro.
He's not even a Pro Bowl alternate this year. Not even an alternate.
Look, when you force fumbles year after year, that's not luck. Now, when you recover two or three fumbles, there's a lot of fortune
involved. Right place, right time,
right
and then bounce the ball.
But you got to be around the ball. I understand. But you and I put a lot more credence on forced fumbles than fumble recovery.
Unless you're Ghost Johnson, where there's a fumble 10 yards away. You just happen to be 10 yards away from the quarterback.
I'm a little disappointed that Lavonte doesn't have five or six sacks. Lee, a little disappointed because your boy Bill Sheridan, who you still remember, that's when David had his greatest season. He was a stat machine. Little Bill Sheridan. Anybody remember Bill Sheridan? Maybe he'll run the defense for Rutgers for Shiano.
I thought more of Phil Sheridan than Bill Sheridan.
I thought Bill Sheridan was fantastic because he's the one who invited fans
to
join him at 5:30 in the morning.
You wrote seven columns off that.
And fans actually showed up at $1 to talk film with him and show him how to call the defense.
That's one of the great moments at a Buck podium.
Well, it was a great moment, but the chicken spit. When people showed up, and he said, hey, come on, I'll show you some film. I'll give you Diet Cokes and regular Cokes. And they showed up, and he just kind of waved at him like he was Trump or something going by in a limo. That was a chicken spit move.
You know, here's something I just thought
of, guys. You don't pull stunts like that on a podium. And then when the fans who help pay your salary show up, you basically spit at him. That was chicken spit. I want to say something else, but.
Lee, do you think that the emergence of Lavonte as more of a vocal leader on a week-to-week basis makes it at least a little bit easier to contemplate life without JPP as sort of the defensive spokesman? Could that be a factor where you'd say,
you know what,
a year ago you'd say, well, you got to have JPP. There's nobody else with that kind of personality.
You know what I think of leaders? I don't. That's some kind of mystic nonsense that bad sports radio hosts like Dan Siegel use to fill up
airtime. When you got nothing else.
Yeah. I'm not into it. I'm just not into it. I mean, I'll go back to the Oakland A's. I know it's baseball. They fought each other all the time. There was no chemistry, but they won and they won and they won.
And when it came time to play,
they played. So I'm not into that. There's mystic leaders or anything. Yeah.
Steve, are you going to go as far to suggest that maybe you are, that Lavonte David's had a better career than Luke Kuechly?
I was going to wrap up our podcast with this, Eric, because you drove a lot of people off the side of the road on the highway earlier this year, very early this year, when you said Gerald McCoy is a Ring of Honor member. So I'm going to ask you right now, Ira, Mr. Kaufman, Ring of Honor. You put in McCoy over Lavonte David, and let's assume David has a similar year next year that he has this year.
Well, who says it's got to be an either or? I think both guys are deserving. Who says it's got to be either or? Now,
asked you who'd you either or. You pick one. Let's say you had to pick one.
Oh.
Let's say the Glazers call you in for some schnapps. They say, Sage, happy 2020. Let's have a toast to what's coming up.
I think I would go with 54, David.
Yeah.
Ahead of McCoy. I do.
Here's
you got
one
me
for
on
you.
That one.
You know, David, for whatever reason, I know the reason. Let's just say this. David doesn't get recognized. Whether that's because he plays for a lousy franchise or is it because he's got such a, not inferior, that's not the word I'm looking for, an introverted personality.
He's not flashy. His game's not flashy.
No, not at all. Not at all. The only Pro Bowl he made, if I remember correctly, that was the year, the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl, which was 11 months, whatever that is. The year after he went on radio, he was so hacked off that he wasn't in Pro Bowl. He sucked it up and went on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, did umpteen different radio shows. Then 10 months, 11 months later, he was named to the Pro Bowl. Do you think he's such a forgotten guy that we both know when Hard Knocks came in, he wanted absolutely nothing to do with it? If he had cooperated, don't you think he'd be more recognizable?
I'll tell you what I think is a bigger factor, Lee, and it's not his fault. The Bucs are a blip on the national radar. That it hurts. It just hurts. I think it hurts a guy that's playing for Jacksonville, similarly. That kind of market, it's nondescript.
But yeah, Gerald McCoy.
When are the Bucs in a big national game?
That's true, but Gerald McCoy, and by the way, think of this. I'll have to look it up. What is Jameis' record on prime, on nationally televised games, which Saturday was nationally televised? I think it's got to be awful. Every time, but think
I know
this.
What you're saying about McCoy. Well, there's less competition at defensive tackle.
Is there?
I think there
okay.
is.
And I'll say this, Ira. McCoy, of course, is better with the media than David ever was. He was the number three overall pick, so he had a personality before he arrived in the league. David wasn't well known except to football
That's
guys.
Not to say Levante is bristles at us. He's great to work with, but he's nondescript. He's cliche-ridden. He'd much rather sit in the background than ever talk. But I've never been turned down by Levante David. But when he does talk, there's nothing there.
Comes down to, Sage, all you Hall of Fame voter types, all you care about is the sizzle guys, and nobody cares about the little guy anymore, Ira. No, I'm teasing you, Sage. Send off Buccaneers fans with your Christmas wishes and what they should be thinking about this team as they sit around the holiday dinner table across Tampa Bay. And I'll remind everybody first, before your final address, that we will be at Bill Curry Ford, 11:30 lunch. Fans get a chance to sit down with the Sage, get on the podcast for a few minutes. And it all happens Thursday, BillCurryFord.com for your address and to pre-shop. Let it rip, Sage.
All right. I would say my holiday address to our listeners, our Joe Buck fan family, is this. Lee, it wasn't a successful season, no matter what happens against Atlanta, but it was a damn exciting season.
Uh-huh.
And there's something to be said for that.
Mr. Now, Simon.
Now, Lee, it's not translating into keisters in the seats at Raymond James Stadium, because I thought the crowd sucked the other day. Now, the weather wasn't great. But everybody's
Christmas.
In town.
Yeah.
Everybody's in town. I thought the crowd sucked. Steve, there's something to be said for excitement. And most importantly, Bruce Arians has regained his excitement, because I think at 2-6, he was on the balls of his ass, and I'll say that right now. And he looks a little rejuvenated. And an excited Bruce Arians is a successful Bruce Arians.